This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We will talk with Jerry Jones at 10:30, but right out the gate, wanted to throw this out there. Couple of different things. The best and the worst case records for the Cowboys. Now, I get in theory that the best they could do is 17-0 and the worst they could do is 0-17. Beyond that, realistically, what do you think are the best and worst case scenarios for the Cowboys? To go along with that, I have power rankings via executive votes from The Athletic.
I will have to say, and based on The Athletic, they're top 100 all-time football players. They've done a pretty good job with that. So
except
whatever
for today is a stupid.
Oh, no! You're kidding me! Because it's Tom Brady. That makes sense.
No.
Obviously for me, Kevin, my hope and desire, because I got wizarded by Mike.
You did.
Is 15-2.
Okay.
I think their best... The best that I think they can do is 12-5.
Okay.
I think that's a really good scenario. I know that like they will struggle with a couple of different teams, especially the first team this year. That's going to be tough. So that's one right off the bat. I think worst case scenario is 6-11.
Okay.
So that's where I put them. I don't think that they will lose more than 11 games at all.
So,
but man, that is assuming health, obviously.
For the rest of the NFC East, and as you can guess, there's a lot of variation in this. They've got the Washingtons. This is from ESPN. 11-6 being the best, 5-12 being the worst, with a lot riding on Ryan Fitzpatrick. So clearly Reggie says all defeated. For Philadelphia, the best 9-8, the worst 4-13, and it depends on how the youth delivers because you've got Hurts 23, Devontae Smith 22, Rager 22, Miles Sanders 24. How does that youth develop for them?
Well, I mean, Kevin, I think more importantly than their youth, they can say the youth, but they have some aged offensive linemen similar to the Cowboys, but aged offensive linemen that were missing for big chunks last year. So if the youth develops, that's fine, but they still got to get the ball to those guys. And if their offensive line is not good enough to protect them in a good way, they're going to have troubles. So I have a lot of concerns when it comes to Philadelphia, man. But I don't think their youth can get going that fast.
For the Giants, as you can guess, a lot of this pivots off of if Daniel Jones breaks out or continues to be meh. Tops 10-7. Lowest 5-12.
Can I ask you something? I want to go back to Philadelphia because this just popped into my mind, a question I have about them.
Sure.
When it comes to Nick Sirianni, like when he first met Jalen Hurts, he was like, this guy's a stud. That's what he said on Good Morning Football with Kay Adams. When you have a first-year head coach versus a guy who has been a veteran coach, it feels like veteran coaches have a lot of things that they are prepared for. But don't they presume a lot of times that a young team will be prepared or will just do things that veterans have done? Or do they, like, that's my thing about Sirianni. Is he going into it going, man, my kids don't know anything. I have to make sure they're ready for everything, but I don't know enough of what they don't know.
See,
and I don't know enough to know what they're not going to know.
I think that Nick Sirianni is honestly in the best position because of that, Corey. Because if you ask me, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm rolling in there. I'm like, hey, you've only started a couple of games. Let's try some new stuff together. And if it doesn't work out, you're not the quarterback I picked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the hook for you. I know that's not always how it works in the world of sports, but theoretically, that's not the quarterback you picked. I wanted Deshaun Watson, or I wanted to jump back in the draft and get Justin Fields or whatever. But I think that would be good for Nick Sirianni and good for Jalen Hurts. Because you can be like, hey, new start for you, new start for me. Let's try some stuff and see what happens.
Well, with a coach like Mike McCarthy then, or even a Ron Rivera, or Jason Garrett, don't those guys presume, my veterans know this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so if I have a veteran team, I shouldn't have to reteach football to them because they know these things. And I guess that's where I'm kind of curious how the head coach will have that effect. Because Belichick, obviously, was not good. You know, was not great
sure
at the beginning, but found the right algorithm.
And for the Cowboys, best case scenario, 11-6, worst case scenario per ESPN. And that is largely in line, though not totally, with some of our picks from the 214. Best case 13-4, worst case 7-10, 8-1-7, worst case 6-11 from the 469. Best case 12-5, worst case 8-9. From the 4-6, another 4-6-9, this is the most limited. They have a very good idea of what's going to happen with the Cowboys. Best case 8-9, worst case 7-10. So there's only one game.
Man, that's a very small.
Man, that is a really small window. And then this is another really small window from the 940. I think the best we can do is 11-6 and the worst is 8-9. Like, it fascinates me when people set their windows of best and worst case at 2 or even 1, because health pivots so much of this, and that's what it says for the Cowboys. Health is the pivot, and then they bring up that this team is clearly top-heavy. Your top 10 players have $127 million in cap space. Like, that is very top-heavy in the NFL.
Yeah, that is a big deal. I just, when I look at the Cowboys specifically, Kevin, I don't see as low of a floor for them.
Yeah.
And that's why 6 kind of puts me in that way. I look at New York and I'm like, they could lose zero. They could win zero games.
Wow.
I really do feel like their defense can keep them in games, but they could have such a stale offense again that you'd be like, man, they just did not produce, and every opponent they played was more prepared offensively.
I'm going to take the opportunity to represent the Mike Bassick point of view, where all teams hit their floors. So Washington goes 5-12, Philly goes 4-13, the Giants go 5-12, and the Cowboys win the division at 6-11. I feel like that is what Mike would represent as his opinion right there. Now,
Good job to
go along with that, of all the 16 teams in the NFC, where do you think the Cowboys rank? Because The Athletic had a poll with executives from across the league, and I can tell you where the Cowboys sit.
All right, let me look at the standings real quick to just kind of take a glance at
everybody is 0-0.
What I feel.
So they're
okay,
all tied.
Thank you, Kevin. All right, so I feel like the Rams would be ahead of them.
Okay.
I feel like the Seahawks would be ahead of them.
Okay.
I feel like the Packers will be ahead of them.
Okay.
I feel like the Buccaneers will be ahead of them.
Okay.
I will put the Cowboys at 7.
Okay, who are the other? Because Tampa, Green Bay, L.A., and Seattle all ahead of them. Who are the other two you're putting ahead of them?
There's a possibility that the Cardinals and Niners could be ahead of them.
Okay.
And that would be 2, or the Bears. So I would exchange the Bears and Niners in either one of those instances.
Okay.
And then I would say the Vikings are right next to them.
49ers make the cut. Vikings are 8th. Cardinals are 9th. The Cowboys are 7th, and this is...
I was right.
You were right. The team ahead of them, though, interests me. At 6, it's the Saints.
Listen, I might be higher on the Saints, and I know I've been down on Jameis for a long time. I love that he went to quarterback school and sat there next to Drew Brees watching film for a year. That he got the teaching from Sean Payton that he needed, and Sean Payton said, look, I think this is the dude this year. I might be higher on the Saints than anybody else. And it's not because I think Jameis Winston is going to change the world, but if he can limit his interceptions as bad decisions, that team could be really good.
Now, Corey, one more thing. I got good news for you from the 267. Worst case scenario, 15-2. Corey's bet is safe.
Let's go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford. Ford built for Texas, built for you. It is our Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What's going on?
Mickey, we have Jerry coming up here in about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or so. What should be our first question? What would you ask Jerry
We're
Jones
outsourcing
today?
The yeah. interview?
I okay. do this all the time.
Are you going to win a Super Bowl this year?
There you go. That's the question. And we'll say that was from Mickey Spagnola. So if you see him in the halls.
I figured you already had that written down already.
Oh, man. Well, that is one of the huge factors, Mickey, because he spent a lot of time saying it's Super Bowl or bust, and he avoids that now. Do you think there's a reason that he avoids saying that?
Well, he just doesn't want to throw out any fodder out there for everybody to jump on. You know, the correct answer to that question would be How about getting into the playoffs? Right?
Yes. Yeah.
That hadn't happened in, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. First things first, you can't win a Super Bowl unless you get in the playoffs. Can't win a Super Bowl until you probably win the division title. So, yeah, I think that, you know, that would be the answer if I was asked the question. You know, first things first, because chances are if you're not winning the division, you're either not getting in the playoffs or you're playing everything else if you get in on the road, which is not a recipe for success.
When I'm curious your general philosophy on, I was listening to Tyron Smith talk about, you know, not needing his neck roll and feeling the best he has in several years. How much stock do you, not just on Tyron, but just in general, how much stock do you put in on the training camp or preseason when players say I'm in the best shape or I feel the best? Or how do you, like, figure out what's real and what's, because the games haven't started
yet. I think you, number one, you watch, right? See how they're performing. But number two, are they coming off of surgery to fix what was bothering them? You know, somebody can, you know, anybody can say that, but when you're coming off a surgery like that, and if you remember, Leighton Vander Esch had the same point of view after his neck surgery to take care of what was causing a lot of problems in the neck, the back, and I think that was
neck and the back.
Yeah, and I think that's what was going on with Tyron with a lot of the stuff he was suffering and. You know, the continued stingers and everything. So, yeah, I thought that was probably pretty good news that he said, I don't want to see that thing anymore, right? Get rid of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that's from a physical standpoint, not necessarily, oh, okay, he's in the greatest shape of his life, right? It's just that he's healthy, and health has a lot to do with how you play.
Mickey, when it comes to Azur Kamara, I'm very fascinated, obviously, because Hard Knocks has presented that story, and now he's made the 53. Is he going to stick around there, do you think? And also, like, what has he done to earn that spot and be there, and could he make a prominent, something prominent happen this season?
Yeah, I don't know about having something prominent happen this season.
Okay.
But I think he made it this far, and I'm saying this far, okay? Because you never know what happens in a week or two in this league on the roster. Because I think of his upside. I got the first kind of look at him yesterday without pads on, and I didn't realize, number one, he was that tall.
Yeah.
Because he seems to play small.
And the number 43 makes you look smaller.
Yeah, right? No, I agree with you.
Uh-huh.
And he's pretty lanky, so he's got really long arms, and he's got speed. So I think they look at it as maybe this is something we can develop, and maybe they were a little worried if they tried to waive him and get him on, you know, the practice squad, that somebody would pick him up, just for what I said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of projecting what the future could be, and so. I don't know that he'll be active on game day. You can only have so many, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they look at it more as a futures, because if they didn't see something with him last year, they wouldn't have put him on injured reserve basically for the entire season, because they wanted to keep him around.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see if he's if they look at him more than just a place setter, and if they need a roster spot, they try to get him onto the practice squad.
All right, so yesterday Osa Odigizuwa was asked about Tom Brady's weakness, and he said not very mobile. He's been playing for 21 years doing this, so he's a little bit older, not too mobile. If you get him off his spot, his passer rating goes down by a lot. If I tweet that to Tom Brady, will Tom Brady retweet it? And then will he also use that as poster or corkboard material?
Now, what do you think?
There's no way that Tom Brady's
not... anything would jack up Tom Brady in his 22nd year?
Yes,
that
I do.
Some rookie answered a question very honestly.
Yes.
That anybody else would say the same thing about him.
I think that Tom Brady is always looking. He's like Michael Jordan. He's Petty. Looking for the game Petty. Within the game.
So what's
the
he going to do? Okay, look, what's that kid's number? 97? I'm going to run his ass over.
Oh, my God. I would love to see him try to do that. Oh, so
that's what you want.
In the ground.
That's what you want, right?
Hell yeah, I want that.
If you get in Brady's head and he goes, okay, I'm going to show him. I can run. Yeah, I'd rather him run than throw the ball. I'll tell you that.
Right, I'm
you know, and then the other thing that, and part of that, which you have to quote is, he also came back when somebody said, well, are you worried that that's going to be bulletin board material? And he said, I feel like he's the kind of guy who's not too worried about what I'm saying.
Interesting. All right. I'm adding that in. I'm going to quote tweet it and say, I'm curious what Tommy would think here. And then he'll be like, don't ever call me Tommy again.
That would be something like, I think he would look like, get that little gnat off my arm.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I do think that's probably true. Like, I don't see him sitting in the locker room and if he's like, Osa said that? And like a single tear rolls
yeah.
down his cheek.
Who's that guy? Wait, I knew his brother.
I totally see him sitting in his locker. He reads it, and then he takes his helmet and hits it on the floor, and he's like, I got to go run a few more laps today just to get my feet ready for this Osa kid. That's
actually,
what I see.
You know what? If you want to hear something from him, and this was a really good about a minute and a half soundbite, he got on this tangent. He was talking it was a Tampa Bay – it was a Buccaneers.com little show, and he was talking about – how quarterbacks have to feel responsible for where they throw the ball and if they get their receiver in a situation where somebody's going to take a hit on them and that defensive player is going to get kicked out of the game for hitting a defenseless receiver. And he said the penalty should be on the quarterback because he goes, as I'm a quarterback, I can't sell out my receiver and throw the ball where he's going to be in danger of getting hit like that. It was real interesting. He went on for about 90 seconds on the topic. I've seen it. It was posted on Twitter. It's worth a listen, and it really makes sense, and it tells you how intelligent and how much experience he has in this game and how he sees the game. I thought it was really enlightening.
Now, this is a Cowboys, I guess technically Monday per the game schedule. Does it feel like you have officially started game week and the season is here?
No, it's not Monday. Monday, yeah, you're right, Monday, sorry.
Okay.
I got to get my day straight.
I'm trying to help, Mickey.
It is Monday because tomorrow's Tuesday and it's an off day, right?
Yep.
And then Wednesday's on Sunday. Yeah, I think yesterday when you went out to practice and you saw fewer guys out there, it was like, oh, okay, you know, we're getting closer, and I think it'll ramp up a little bit more today, but for sure on Sunday when they put the pads on again and really get into it. But yeah, there seemed to be from the little now we're back to only getting to watch 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So we don't get to watch the whole thing, but it seemed to be pretty spirited out there, and it should be, right? Because a lot of the guys that went out there were like, whew, I made it, I'm still here, right? You ought to be excited and especially if you made the 53 and not just the practice squad. But, you know, those guys, you know, working on the practice squad's better than not working at all.
That is a great point. We love having you work with us, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right. Say hi to Jerry.
We will.
Yes,
there is Mickey Spagnola on the Romeo's Pizza Hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com. Coming up next, we will talk with Jerry Jones live right here in your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now on the line, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin, Corey. Great to be on with you, and can't tell you how pretty this morning looks, knowing that a little less than a week from now, we're going to be lining up.
That's absolutely right, Jerry. And I want to steal this first question. This is our third year. You know, we've gotten to know you over time and want to let you get to know us just a little bit. And you talk about how beautiful of a morning it is. It'll be 95, 96 degrees outside. My co-host My co-host says that eating on a patio outside is not only overrated, but stupid. And I wanted to know, Jerry, if you are a fan of eating on the patio or if you're like, nope, I am always eating indoors.
Do you know that I don't eat where it's hot?
Are you serious?
Yes!
I don't have appetite tight, number one. And number two, I don't like to eat and socialize or eat and talk.
Okay. All right.
So I like to sit down and eat and taste it and savor it, but then move on or save the talking for another time or so that I'm a little finicky, I guess, about eating. I don't like to do it when you're sweating and sweat's running down your back. Now I'll drink with you.
Uh-huh.
When it's hot or cold. But seriously, no, I'm not a big fan of being out in the elements and trying to do something like eat. But now it can be fun. As you know, I hunt a lot, and that has all kinds of climate conditions to it. It can be cold, hot, rainy, snowing, all of it, and that even makes it that much more fun. And so I do hunt a lot, and I'm outdoor a lot. And frankly, I saw a picture the other day. It was the first time I'd ever run out on the field with the Cowboys relative to being out in Thousand Oaks. It was our first practice, and had a picture of me, and I was as thin as a razor. And but anyway, I remember it like yesterday, better than I can yesterday. And I said, man, smell that grass, because it was a grass field. But that was a sense of smell that I had done seeming like all my life relative to playing football as a young person. So, and I thought, man, it's just good to be back. There I was running out on the field, my first practice. It's just good to be back where you can smell that grass.
Fantastic answer to that. I feel very vindicated now as well. But I know that you're not in the business of making these days any big, bold, Super Bowl-esque proclamations, but now's the time of the year where media is putting out record predictions and all this and that. When you talk to the Cowboys fans and you look at this season, do you look at this team and say, this is a team that we feel like should be able to make the playoffs?
Well, I see without getting into the real technical any facts behind what I say, but I feel the team that I thought we were going to have last year, and of course that was before Dak's injury. That was euphoria for me over having Mike as our coach, not necessarily appreciative of what lack of our practice, COVID, all of that, how it was going to impact the actual team, and certainly not anticipating the injuries, and certainly not anticipating the breakdown that we had in defense. But this year, with what we've addressed, and boy, did we go at it. I'm sure you'll give us that. We'll see how the results are, but man, did we change it up. And you change something up about as good as you can change it up and correct it up, what we lost when we lost Dak, and what we hope we've got back is our protection and our front line on offense. And we've even now got, a much better number 88 is just better. He's stronger. He's better. And he certainly is the skill that we thought we were getting when we drafted Lamb. So all of those things give me the same feeling I had last year. We're going to be a good team.
Well, in that respect, with the offense and defense, what are your expectations? I know hopes would be like, hey, number one offense, number one defense. But for the offense and for the defense, do you expect this offense to be top five, top three? Top 10? Like, what would you expect this offense to be and the defensive side?
You really do need, on really both sides of the ball, you need a big play to happen. We call it, on offense, we call it plays over 20 yards. You've given up a big play if it's over 20 yards. But we need big plays on both sides of the ball. I think we've got the schemes. Maybe we have the availability, that's injury. And certainly think we've got the talent to create some big plays on both sides of the ball. And that's turnovers usually on defense, but that can be a good field position stop. So having said all of that, I think we have improved across the board, both sides of the ball, our big play opportunities.
When it comes to the offense, because we've been discussing this off air quite a bit, do you view this Cowboys offense as young? I know at the skill position, there's a lot of younger players, but do you view the offense as young? And when do players get old in the NFL?
No, I don't view us as young. I view us as experienced. And I view us, the verdict is out whether or not we're experienced and available. Again, what's our ability to mitigate any of injuries and the degree of them. But I view us as a mature offense. I think we've got continuity in our coordination. I think we've got continuity in our offensive line. I think we've got a Super Bowl winning coach that really is certainly aware of everything we need to do offensively. I think we've also got coaches that have had their ups and downs, and they've been hit in the foxhole and lived to tell about it. And I'm talking about across the board, but I really am over on offense. I like the makeup of our coaches. They haven't lost any stinger. They're very aggressively excitable. They're passionate. They're in their best parts of their career. Moore's young, Moore coordinator's young, but the rest of them are right there. They're where they should be to really do a great job of adjusting as well as implementing a good game plan. I like where we are in our coaching staff.
Jerry Jones joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and we were discussing this a few minutes ago. One of your rookie defensive tackles, Osa Odighizuwa, said about Tom Brady, his weakness is that he's not very mobile, and then made a couple other comments about how he's a little older and not too mobile, and if you get him off his spot, his passer rating goes down. Now, Jerry, you've seen some of the greatest athletes in the NFL play their game, and you know how they act mentally as well. Knowing Tom the way you do, if he saw that, would he take something like that? Because like Michael Jordan was one of those guys that said, hey, it's a small bit of information. It doesn't matter. It's the game within the game within the game. Do you think Tom
absolutely.
Brady is that competitive?
Now, would that result in a turnover Brady's part, or would that result on a big play?
Mm.
Take something like that and try to use it for his own motivation as well as to the team if he sees it. I don't think that impacts the game.
When you bought the Cowboys, did you have a list of media folks that gave you bulletin board material to make this team better?
Well, did I have people that cooperated with, in other words, that would I could set up or that worked with to do that? No, I did not. What got me on those on that print was my own mouth.
It's sometimes good and sometimes bad.
Impromptitude.
So Cam Newton is not part of the Dallas Cowboys. Cam Newton's still out there. And the Cowboys, they pick up Will Greer. And I'm kind of curious if you picked up the phone and called over to Bill Belichick and said, hey, what are your thoughts on this guy? Did you have a conversation with him about that guy as a potential backup for you?
You know, most people in the NFL that that are in the personnel area, I think have Cam Newton evaluated. And his pluses and his minus, you know, Norv Turner did a great job with when he was coordinator there with Cam Newton. So I think he's no secret as to what he does and does well. And, of course, he was able to be evaluated, if you want to look at it, for playing games and results and all of that as an evaluation. And so what you're seeing with him, he's available. As best I can tell, he's available. That's always got the big if you can get it, make the right kind of deal, he's available. But the point is that in this particular case, now that's another thing with Will Greer, or it's another thing with some of the guys that don't have the playtime or haven't been as readily haven't had as much experience. But Cam Newton's not playing because everybody's evaluated it and they're making a decision. He may be on a roster though as I'm speaking. But we were very, very easy to evaluate Cam.
Now, I always love getting your perspective on outside NFL issues, since I know you're focused on the Cowboys, but there's a lot of other things going on in the league. And in Buffalo, I know they're working on trying to get a new stadium deal. Do you view Buffalo or do you view all the NFL markets as teams that you want to stay in that city? Or are there certain cities that you're like, they cannot lose their football team?
Well, it's unique. It's just as Green Bay is unique relative to size, location. I'll never forget their owner. I was about 28, and the owner of the Buffalo Bills was downstairs in my office in Oklahoma City, and he was a founder of the AFL, and there he was, the owner. And, of course, at that time, my dream, I woke up having fantasies of somehow being involved in the NFL. At that time, the AFL. And I'd go sit around in lobbies when they'd have meetings just by chance to get to say hello to him and meet him. And so, boy, the owner was downstairs, and he had his daughter with him, and he was looking at oil deals and looking at investing in oil deals in Oklahoma City. And so, boy, I went down to meet him, and you would have thought that I was meeting, for me, Elvis Presley.
Mm.
So the bottom line is Buffalo has a special place. All those AFL teams have a special place, just as Green Bay does. And so to me, my wish would be to they work something out and stay there. It's easy if you look, step back and say, well, there are other areas that have more of this that it seems you would want if you were what? If you would want if you own the team. Well, the Pegulas are very, very deeply involved in Buffalo. And there are great people and great story in this country. The Pegulas themselves are almost as big a story as the Bills. And how they have done, what she has done, she's so involved, Kim is, so involved, and there she was literally at a period of time in her life. She's an orphan and on the streets and in a part of the world that most of us can never even think about. And well, there she is there, beautiful woman, and so involved in competitiveness and wants Buffalo to be something special. So they have... Between her, Kim, and Terry, they have as fine a ownership situation for Buffalo or any city. And to me, they can expand and continue to get the interest they get from that great city, Toronto, that's 80 miles across the lake, and really have a great franchise.
Jerry, we are less than a week away, and I know, you know, training camp gets you excited, and I know you're excited as you move forward. Each week's fun, but you're about to play the Super Bowl champions. Does that have any extra juice for you as you get closer to this week, and when does the peak of excitement go for you?
From the minute I saw it, our chance to go play them, our chance to go play them, not come here, go play them, to go right where David slew the giant, and to go right there and open our season up away from home and the foreign country and step down there and have the Cowboys go in there and get a chance to show good and come out with a victory. What an opportunity, and that's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it. Unquestionably, we're underdogs, and unquestionably, they're the reigning world champ, first game they've played since winning it. They bring back, I think, of course, this is a moving thing, but they bring back, as most starters of any team in the NFL, world champions. What if we could go in there and win? It'd be great.
And I know a lot of Cowboys fans love hearing that answer, and that's getting them hyped up. We also, last thing I got for you, we also talk with Steven every week, and I believe, is it possible there's a wedding going on this weekend before the season
yes,
starts?
Yes, it is, and my beautiful granddaughter, Jordan, is having a wedding, her wedding this weekend, and not a wedding, her wedding, and so we're all excited about that. She's marrying a wonderful man, and the bottom line is that I just have to pinch myself to think that that little Jordan, who can picture dearly jumping up and down on beds all over my house and bunking parties. And, you know, we have a tradition that all of my grandchildren spend the night with us on the night before Christmas Eve. So I get to be a part of a Santa Claus type thing. And so they'd come over here and all stay, and we'd all stay in the rooms and bunk up and just have the best time. And that never goes away. I don't care if they're walking down the aisle.
They grow up pretty fast, though, don't they?
Well, and they're wonderful. By the way, you guys are still puppies. You really are. I'm not going to let the old man in, and y'all do like puppies do, and that is have a bright attitude and world's ahead of you.
Well, thank you very much. We love talking with you every Friday. Have a blast at the wedding this weekend, and then have a blast Thursday night whipping those Tampa Bay Bucks.
You bet, guys. It's great to be on with you.
Absolutely. Yes, there's Jerry Jones, GM and owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Look, I understand that there's a lot that we need to break down from that, but the number one thing that I need to talk about, just because it immediately happened, he said bunking parties.
Yes.
So we have the typical sleepover.
Yeah.
We have Mike Bassick with the spend the night.
Spend the night, yeah.
And now did we just learn that the Jones family calls it a bunking party.
877-881-1053 is a bunking party. Have you ever heard it called a bunking party? Because I've never heard that before. But
and from the 903... I also believe that perhaps Jerry was getting a little emotional right there when thinking about, like, he was fondly reminiscing about that.
Why he called us puppies? Is that what you're
saying?
Like, he was realizing that moment. He didn't want to step into that place, right?
Yeah.
He's like, because once I go there and talk about how they grow up so quickly, I mean, he's right. I am a puppy in that instance, Kevin. I have three kids. None of them are older than 15, 14, 13. So, like, I'm in that place where I'm still in the infancy of what those kids are going to become as adults and watching that grow. So, and that's crazy. But yeah, I'm interested to know, like, he didn't want to add anything to the Tom Brady fire either.
I mean, I thought
he was like, hold on, will it affect the field? No, never mind. So let's move on.
But that's the thing. I thought his answer to that was great because he said it could affect the field, but which way does it go? He was like, does that mean he doesn't make a play or does that mean he makes a huge play?
Good
like,
point.
I thought he presented the options of, I hear what you're saying, and maybe it works out for us. I like Mickey's idea that he's like, I'm taking Osa down. Because like I said, Osa will put him in the ground.
Yes.
But on the flip side, when he was like, or does that mean he makes a play? Like, that's the part that I think you alluded to that I think we're all a little afraid of.
Yeah, I'm absolutely afraid of him going, you know what? I will practice all week. I will practice my stiff arm or my shake move, and I'm going to call it the shaking Brady. Or whatever it is, I'm going to call it that, and I'm going to juke this dude immediately.
And obviously, Jerry Jones always brought to us on the Romeo's Pizza Hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com. There are some people who are weighing in and saying, yes, I'm familiar with that phrase, and then from the 214, it is a word now as of today. So they have determined that because of that, they will now adopt that.
I like this from the 817. I've never heard a bunkin' party, but I like it way better than a spend the night. The number one seed is still sleepover. So I like that they threw a ranking out there.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think that's a geographical thing either. But I wanted to throw this out to go along with the Jerry thing is everyone's making their predictions right now for like record for each team for the season and everything like that. Normally, because I know we reference them, will you read or sometimes listen to some stuff on Bleacher Report?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Will you still want to hear their prediction for the Cowboys record if – Their overall prediction is 24 games over 500 for all the teams in the NFL. So here's how it works. If you're going to predict every team in the NFL, the net difference needs to be zero. All right? Like, there needs to be this many wins above, this many losses below 500. It all needs to average up to 500.
So they went through every team and then didn't average to 500.
They gave a record for every single team, and the total is the teams in the NFL are going to finish 24 games over 500. Now,
Don't worry. They're just going to borrow some wins.
Okay. Cool.
They're saying the bad teams might be a little bit better. They're just trying to be nice to the bad
teams. No, but that doesn't make any sense. Who are these other games against that we're going to pick up?
Coastal Carolina.
You can't borrow those against other teams. Are we lining Bishop Sycamore up here to take 24 games? You can't do that. With that in mind, do you still want to know what they predicted for the Cowboys, or do you want to discredit this because that's a pretty big flaw?
Watch this. No, I don't. So let's move on.
Wow.
Next topic.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. Let's go ahead here. Where do they have the Cowboys?
Well, you know what?
15-2? It better be 15-2.
I'm going to read you the first sentence. You can decide if you want to continue. I'm not buying the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no. And they're positive on everybody.
You can't buy them. Jerry Jones owns them. There's no way he's selling. So
that is fair.
Bleacher Report writer.
Dallas is in a weak division, and it might have better injury luck this time with the law of averages on its side, but I still think it'll be tough for the boys to put up their first winning record since 2018. They say 8-9.
What do you think? What do they say about Washington then? Because I'm curious how they feel. In that regard, do they feel that they are the de facto champion of this division?
10-7.
Okay. That would make sense. The Cowboys thing to do is to finish in that manner, right there in the middle somewhere, above or below just enough to keep you interested all season, but also have you hating yourself for being interested.
Interestingly enough, they also have the Giants at 8-9 and the Eagles at 6-11. So they don't have the NFC East that bad, but they don't have any of the divisions that bad because they're all going to
be 24 games over 500.
So
does that mean there's 24 additional games that have been added? Is that how that works?
I suppose that is. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Jerry just answered the question, do you consider the Cowboys offense young? When do players get old in the NFL? We'll talk about it all next right here on The Fan.